Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
Welcome to Suffolk Matters, where Suffolk County meets the men and women of Suffolk AME. News, opinions, and insights you won't hear anywhere else. Filling in for AME President Dan Levler, AME Executive Vice President Tom Moran.
Good morning and welcome to Suffolk Matters. I'm Tom Moran, Executive Vice President of Suffolk AME, filling in for President Dan Levler. Today we have a special guest with us, AME Fres member and Suffolk County Fire Marshal Ryan Fisher and his canine partner Chuck. Welcome, Ryan.
Good morning, Tom. Thank you for having us. It's always a pleasure.
Ryan, can you give us a brief background on yourself and your role as a fire marshal?
Yeah, so about 7 years ago, I was hired by the Suffolk County Fire Marshal's Office after about 12 years with the West Babylon Fire Department and about 5 years with the United States Military. And as a fire marshal, we are responsible for the fire safety aspect of all the county-owned and leased properties, to include fire investigations and inspections, as well as the county hazardous materials plan and Suffolk County USAR team and some other emergency management aspects.
Awesome. You know, you have your unique partner with you today. Can you tell our audience a little bit about him?
Yes. So I am the only Suffolk County canine handler for an ignitable liquids detection canine. We were trained and certified back in 2022 through the Federal Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives. So currently we are a working team for about 2 years, and Chuck and I are out to assist the arson squad as well as fire marshal's offices in Suffolk County, and we also help with Nassau County and other agencies outside of the county to do fire investigations.
And, you know, people will see when they're out on the roadway, the vehicles, different, whether it be police or other agencies have canine marked on their vehicles. How did Chuck come to serve the people of Suffolk County with the Fire Marshal's Office?
So I like to say that Chuck's got a very interesting origin story, since that's the cool thing to say these days. Chuck actually got his start with the Puppies Behind Bars program, which is based out of New York City. They breed their service canines as well as working canines for law enforcement, but as well as facility service to animals, as well as disabled veterans and things like that. They are all Labrador Retrievers. But what's interesting about Chuck is Chuck was actually raised in the Edna Mahan Correctional Facility in New Jersey by an incarcerated individual. So he spent the first year and a half or so with that individual, traveling from that prison to other prisons. But they also have volunteer puppy raisers in the area, and they take them out for weekend excursions. So at a very young age, Chuck was exposed to a whole lot of different environments and skills and abilities. And they're tested throughout that training to see where their best fit would be. You know, some people say, oh, well, you know, the canines are rejected from this program or rejected from that. They're not rejected. They're just like human beings. Some are better at certain things than others. And Chuck, after being evaluated, because he's a little bit too rambunctious when he gets excited, to be a service animal, but he has a very, very, very high work drive and as well as a food drive, which is very important for the ATF program because they are a food reward canine program.
And when you say he was with an incarcerated person that was training him, does that mean that Chuck was behind bars like 24/7 and living with that person, or was there a different realm of training that he went through?
No, so they're actually with their incarcerated individual, and that's part of the perk of the program and part of the rehabilitation process. They actually have to go through a very rigorous training program as well as background checks. They can't have any disciplinary actions for 2 years prior to even being accepted into the program. And then throughout the program, like you said, they stay with that individual in there. They get a special cell. They go, if they have a job, they go to their job with them. They're, like I said, they're exposed to as much day-to-day life as possible. So that way they are not surprised when they get into any environment. And Chuck really isn't. As you saw today, he can walk into any building and, you know, he's pretty comfortable around other people, other animals. He's not, you know, nervous around loud noises or anything like that.
So the first part of his life and in his training is that he is side by side with somebody, because as he moved into this role with you, he's with you 24 hours a day, even when you're not working.
Correct. Yeah. So Chuck comes home with me. Unlike most, you know, law enforcement canines, he gets to spend his days with the family. He lives in the house with us. You know, I joke around and say that there's more beds in my house for him than there is for other people. But he hangs out with my kids. I have two young kids. He's able to, you know, go into the schools, go into, you know, community centers, firehouses, and interact with people. We can't, unlike most police canines, he's more than welcome to be pet. He enjoys it. He loves the affection and the attention, which is part of the overall part of the program for the ATF is public education and outreach.
So on your role as a fire marshal, you specifically, there's many challenges, obviously, to Suffolk County, one being that we are surrounded by water as Long Island in general. What are some of the challenges that you face every day in the line of your work?
So being a fire marshal and being the only canine team out here it's a little bit difficult. We have to be available 24/7 to respond to alarms, as well as, like I said, there's only two other canine teams on Long Island. They're both in Nassau County. And, you know, we mutual with each other very often. But I've been in Nassau County, Westchester, their current accelerant detection handler retired. So now we're also covering for them. Also a part of the ATF, the part of their program is that we have to be available for a national response program. So if there's any large-scale incidents like a church fire or a multi-fatality, we might get called to respond anywhere in the country, really, at any given time. And we have 48 hours to respond to that and get out. So, but as a fire marshal, you know, pretty much the same as any law enforcement. I like to say we're a mix between a cop and a firefighter. You know, we enforce laws pertaining to fires. So we are exposed to not as much, but, you know, the same issues that we're seeing right now with law enforcement in general.
And on the day-to-day or the where you're working within the county, what would our listeners, how could you explain to them how Chuck assists in an investigation and what situations that he gets put into?
Right, absolutely. So Chuck is, and all the ignitable liquid canines, they're more of a tool than an actual determining factor in fire investigations. So back in the day when they first started the program, they used to call them arson dogs. And arson dogs, they found out was kind of a misleading term because the dog is not determining the crime of arson. The dog is determining that an ignitable liquid is there. An ignitable liquid is flammable or combustible liquid. That an ignitable liquid is present. And it's up to us as the fire investigators to determine if that ignitable liquid fits into our puzzle of our investigation. So any samples that he alerts to, we do take and we send them off to our friends over in the crime lab who do an incredible job with determining whether or not there's an ignitable liquid present. But yeah, Chuck's exposed to all of the dangers of a fire scene or post-fire scene. So things like heat, debris, and then the unseen things that we're seeing in the fire service is obviously the cancers. We know as firefighters that, you know, we need to decon ourselves and stuff like that. And Chuck gets the same treatment. We recently accepted a donation from the Firefighter Cancer Support Network of a dog bath. So we have one on site at Frez, accessible to us 24/7. So every fire that we work, whether it's in the middle of the night or the middle of the day, Chuck goes back and he gets a full bath so he can get decontaminated. And then same thing with his vehicle, everything gets cleaned out. And then of course the last person is me to get cleaned up. But yeah, the biggest threat right now to us is obviously that cancer threat.
So some of the people, you know, they would have questions about how, and so even if it's the dog like Chuck or a canine that would be, on the ends of looking for somebody like that was doing a drug investigation on the police side of it, is it true that a dog loses their ability? Do they lose their smelling prowess, I guess you would say, after a while? Can they only do this for a certain amount of time?
Yeah, so the ATF program is a minimum 5-year commitment for us. After that, they've kind of found that the dogs do get tired. You know, Chuck and I, in order to train and be as sharp as we are right now, we have to train every day, at least twice a day. So just like with all of us, you know, things start to get a little bit worn out, things to get a little bit tired, both in their body and in their sense. So Chuck's, like I said, minimum of 5 years, but we have a dog at one of our friends' layover in Nassau County. She's 10 years old. She just turned 10 years old, and she's still as sharp. She recertified with us recently, and she's just as sharp today as she was back, you know, when she first started. So, you know, with better breeding programs and better care and maintenance, we're seeing a lot longer service life for these animals, which is good for them because they really do love what they do.
People like you and I that are in the fire service, when you go into a fire, you have all your PPE, your personal protective equipment on. Is there anything that you have used for Chuck, or is he just going in there, you know, I think of as like paw pads and stuff, walking through debris and, you know, like you said, you're cleaning him up after, but the stuff that's going through, getting stuck in his fur, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so not really. The only thing we go in as far as PPE for Chuck is his we got a nice sturdy leather leash and a good collar. But so the pads are one of a question we get asked a lot is there anything to protect his feet? And what we've actually found is he's smart. He's a lot smarter in thousands of years of moving about an environment. He understands that if something's too hot on his paws, he's not going to go there. So it's a good gauge for him to where he can go and where he can't go. And it's also a good gauge for me because I won't put him into a situation if I see that he's apprehensive to doing it. The other thing, too, is, you know, dogs' paws are very have a lot of dexterity to them. So it's easier for him to maneuver through a fire scene in uneven terrains, as well as feel things like nails that might puncture through a paw pad and into his paw, where he can feel them before that and he can actually maneuver around it. So he goes in there with nothing on his feet. So far, we've been lucky. We've only had one little instance of some glass, and it wasn't even at a house fire. It was at a car fire. A little piece of glass caught his paw, but we have a full first aid kit. We're actually trained through the ATF to do basic first aids and, you know, flush it out. In a couple of weeks, we saw our vet, and everything was good to go. So he's a tough guy.
If Chuck was, if you were working a detail, a job, and there was one of those dangers that he would have to navigate through, if he couldn't navigate it through, but he hadn't quite met the accelerant yet, is there a way that he would try to signal that to you, or would he just stop? What would you do in that instance?
Right, so this is what makes any canine team and why we call it a team. We often get joked about that I'm just the driver. I drive him to where he needs to go. But it is an interpretation, just like with anything else. And, you know, with young kids, you can interpret things that I wouldn't be able to interpret with your kids. That's the same way with him. So what we call it is a noticeable change of behavior. So certain things like where his nose is going, if it's up, if it's down, where his tail is. One of the things that I learned that after training that I've learned just through experience is when Chuck is in an odor and he can smell something, but he can't pinpoint where exactly it is, which happens a lot in a fire scene as we have debris collapsed on the floor and stuff like that. What he'll actually do is he'll sniff around and eventually just lay down. And it's saying, hey, Dad, I know something's here. I can't pinpoint it. I'm getting frustrated. I know it's down there, but there's something here. And he's just kind of giving me a general area of where to look. At that point, since I interpret that, that's when the fire investigation team, us and, you know, the arson detectives, fire marshals, we'll dig out that area. We'll pull a lot of that debris out to maybe the outside, or we'll put it into a can. And then we'll run it again. We'll have Chuck go past it again. We'll try and break it down a little bit more. So then that way we can identify specifically where it is.
Now, would anybody else be able to do that work with Chuck, or, you know, another fire marshal, I'm assuming that is a canine officer or works the ATF. Can they walk him through a process and he'd be able to, you know, those people would know what they were looking for. If I walked with him through a fire scene, I might not know what he's trying to show me.
He, at this point, Chuck knows his job. He knows exactly what it is he needs to do, and he knows the scenario. So if I walked in there and I told you what his command was, he would lead you through the scene. He would know exactly what to do, and he would find it. And the only thing that you would have to remember to do is just make sure you feed him, because that's his reward, and that's what he works for. So really, in all reality, in probably about a half an hour, I can give you a very basic rundown of how Chuck would work, and he would do all the work, and, you know, you just have to pay it up. But like I said, what makes us a great team and what our certification is that recognition of, you know, what is he trying to tell us, you know? Because in a fire scene, as you know, there's thousands and thousands of different kinds of organic compounds and inorganic compounds that he's smelling, and he's deciphering through that to try and find, you know, a couple of molecules of an odor of an accelerant, which is why something we'll never be able to do, and even machines are very difficult at replicating it. But he can do that, and it's a dance. We call it a dance when we go in together and we're working, just keeping him moving, because he might get confused. He might smell something that smells very similar to, and he's trained that if I smell something close, I'm going to sit down. And at the end of the day, like I said, he is rewarded with food. So we do have the opportunity for a false sit. We work very hard to prevent that, but ultimately that's why we take those samples and send them to the crime lab, because nothing that we get, nothing that we alert to can be admitted as evidence unless it's approved by the lab.
Now, what would, on a, you spoke about the daily basis of training twice a day. What does that look like? Are you doing it in the same place? Are you changing it up each day? Or is it the same scenario? What happens on a daily basis on the training?
Right, yeah. So the daily training, it varies almost every day in time, locations, even the classifications. So we're trained and certified in 6 different categories of ignitable liquids. I have a whole case filled of all different types of, you know, accelerants and, you know, some flammable, some combustible. And, you know, that's all certified through our laboratory, so we know exactly what it is. And then we'll actually take that and we'll change that throughout the day. That's actually a requirement that we change it, you know, through our training, and we rotate through. So then that way he's being exposed in different locations. We use things like clothes, we use wood, we use sheetrock, we use furniture. And we'll go to different buildings, we'll go to locations, we'll go to different training centers, firehouses, just as much exposure and change to the environment as humanly possible. So then that way he's never able to guess and predict, because they all dogs are very smart. He's very, very intelligent. If I were to do the same thing every day, he would just be able to pick up on the pattern, and he wouldn't actually be doing his job. He would just be repeating the same pattern over and over.
Now, you and Chuck just got back from your annual training and your certification. Could you explain how that whole process works? I'm guessing it's different from your daily training.
Yeah, so absolutely. This year we were sent down to Salt Lake City, Utah. So Chuck took his second plane ride, so now he officially has been on more planes than my kids. And we flew out to Salt Lake City, Utah. And that training out there is 2 days. It's a pretty rigorous testing. We have certain disciplines that we are required to be trained in. So one is obviously a fire scene, but then we also have to be able to do an article of clothing search. We have to do what's called a pinpoint drill, where we take a little piece of wood and we drill holes in it, and they drop a little bit of accelerant into it. We do vehicles as well, and we do what's called an open area search. So in a field, there'll be a little tiny square of carpet or wood. They'll put a drop of an ignitable liquid on it, and the field is about the size of a football field. And Chuck will go out there and have to use his nose to try and find this little tiny piece of material with accelerant on it. But it's a 2-day process. It starts early in the morning on the first day, and we run all the way till the afternoon. And then the second day, same thing. The most important thing, however, that we do while we're out there is what's called a national odor recognition test. So the ATF program for their canines is pretty unique, that they're actually nationally accredited, one of the very few programs in the country that's nationally accredited through the police association, so that it's not just an internal thing, but there's external forces that are looking at all of their paperwork and verifying that the program is doing and the dogs are doing what they say they're doing. And that's important for us as fire investigators, but also in the county, that we can say, hey, we are nationally certified, not just, you know, certified by the trainer down the street, but this is a national accreditation. It holds up very well in court to say that if Chuck was called out and he alerts to something and we admit it as evidence, we can say, hey, he's a certified canine. And we're a certified team. But yeah, so that process, like I said, it's an all-day thing. But the National Odor Recognition Test, he has to pass with 100%. It's every single one of his odors that he's trained to identify. And they get put out into 4 rings of cans. And he has to go through. And there's distractors in there. So there's things that were pretty enticing, like food for the dogs. But and then also things that are very similar to the smell of a ignitable liquid. But it's not. And again, that's where we come in with our daily training, that we're trying to train him off of those odors so that way he doesn't alert to them. He can have 2 false sits in there, but he can't have any misses. So he has to hit every single can. And Chuck went through, and we went through that, the national odor recognition test with no faults first time.
And what are the, you know, for the people that are listening, what are the odors that he's trying to find?
So It's actually a classification. I can't tell you specifically what it is because it's one of those things that we don't want kind of people to know. But we look for things that are obvious, like gasoline. We also look for things like odorless charcoal fluid. You know, we see that coming out a lot more. And we also, you know, lighter fluids. So pretty obvious things, but even some less obvious things like a tiki torch fluid. You know, things that you would open your shed and you might see that would go on fire. That's what we're looking for.
And that is part of, you know, that's the major part that, you know, people need to understand what your job is that, you know, you guys try to determine why a fire does start. And, you know, there are things that happen that there are fires. People do have fires in their homes that were not intentionally set. But there are those people that, whether it be for revenge to somebody because of insurance issues, you know, the stuff that we see all the time. But when you see, do you see that it's an ever-changing thing that the people are trying to hide things now because of a dog like Chuck and knowing that he's out there trying to catch them, so to speak?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that, you know, as fire investigators, but also the ATF, we keep constant track of is when we see new things coming out. All of our ignitable liquids, like I said, that we use for training are also categorized. Right. So the crime lab actually keeps a record of that material on hand. So if we ever see it again, they know exactly what it is. And that's even as far as, you know, certain types of gasoline and where gasoline's coming from, diesel fuel, where it's coming from. So we can help. We can use that to try and identify where somebody may have gotten that from. So it narrows down our focus. You know, like there's, you know, new stuff coming out all the time. Like right now there's they're calling it a green lighter fluid, which is made with a different material. So that's something that we discuss at the national level, but also in our crime lab here is whether or not we can detect it and whether or not he can detect it. Things like alcohols. Alcohols are very difficult for anybody to detect because they have a very high volatility and they evaporate very quick. So Chuck's not specifically trained to search for alcohols, but he will, if it's there, he can alert to it because it's a hydrocarbon. And that's essentially what it comes down to is any hydrocarbon that's being used, that's what they're trained to alert to.
And being associated with the ATF program, whether it be you or let's say somebody in Wyoming, if they came across something that was brand new, maybe that you guys have never seen before, they put two things together or something maybe brand new that nobody ever thought of using, that is shared, that information, correct, through that whole a partnership?
Oh, absolutely. So part of our ATF program and our responsibility as handlers with them is we have to report everything. So there's a reporting system that we use. So anytime we do training, but also any fires that we go to, if we see anything, any type of laboratory reports that come out that are kind of odd or something new, that gets reported. And the ATF National Laboratory, their chemists are also looking at that, and they'll talk to our chemists down here in Suffolk County, and they'll look at the reports, and studies like that are happening constantly. So then that way we can identify new trends that might be happening or new materials that might be coming out.
And now when would the next time that Chuck needs to go be recertified again?
So it's an annual requirement. We have to recertify at least every 12 months. So next year we will be back at it again. We'll be working all year long to keep sharp, and next year we'll be back at it again. Where? I don't know this time, but I'm sure it'll be someplace fun.
So in addition to serving as a fire marshal, you're a volunteer firefighter, as you stated earlier. You currently serve as the third assistant chief in the West Babylon Fire Department. As well, in your spare time, you are the treasurer of the Fire Marshals Association of Suffolk County. With summer coming upon us, what are some tips that you could relay with the many hats you wear to the residents of Suffolk County for some just things to be remembered of and safely navigate through the summer?
Yeah, absolutely. So for this summer, we're coming out of the wildfire season. And yes, Long Island, Suffolk County has a wildfire season. Luckily, it was pretty wet, so it was pretty quiet. But make sure that you're keeping your shrubs cleared out and things away from your home so that if you do have a small brush fire, whether it's from a cigarette or something like that, it doesn't extend into your home. And the same thing applies for your barbecues. Your barbecue fires are very, very common. People don't clean them. They might have them a little bit too close to the house or to a fence, and they can cause significant damage. Lastly, and this is the most important, the number one thing I always tell people is smoke detectors save lives. You know, we do a lot of fire investigations in Suffolk County in the Fire Marshal's office. And unfortunately, we do go to fatal fires. And the most common denominator amongst fatal fires is a lack of smoke detectors. Make sure you have a smoke detector in your house. Make sure it works. And if you're not sure, you can always go to the Suffolk County website for Suffolk County Fire Rescue. We have all of information there pertaining to a lot of safety, as well as on Facebook. And the Fire Marshals Association also has an active Facebook page that you can get a lot of information off of.
It's so many people should be aware of. I mean, today, construction is different than the houses 60, 70 years ago. Now fires burn hotter, they're quicker. You see it in this news stories that follow the same story of, you know, people being awake in their house, be alerted by smoke detectors and just having enough time to get out. You know, used to be years ago, you could gather your belongings, you get everybody out. It's getting harder and harder to do just because of the way houses are built, the materials that they use. And I'm sure that that's something that you see all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why it's more imperative than ever to have those smoke detectors and make sure that they're working, make sure they're tested, and also have your evacuation plans. You know, my kids are still young, but since they were old enough to walk, we've been practicing our evacuation plans. So make sure you're practicing that, your family meet up places. And if you're in a facility or at home and you hear the smoke detectors go off, get out of the house, contact the fire department as soon as you can, because nothing property-wise is worth it in your house. And these fires are growing very, very rapidly, and they get very hot. And on top of that, the smoke that they're putting out is far more toxic than it's ever been. You know, a few whiffs of that bed smoke, and, you know, it's disorienting and unfortunately fatal.
And following the summer, we'll be going right back into the school year again, not to rush anybody through the summer, but that's when we go into the fire prevention season. Tell us about some of the things. I know Chuck goes and he's at a lot of the open houses, the different local fire departments. Is there a way that people can find out where he'll be so they can come and see the things that he does?
So, yeah, so the September and October for us is our marathon time. Chuck and I are out, and we'll probably do upwards of 100 different engagements throughout the year, most of them in the fall. We don't have any tracking right now, but, you know, the fire departments, they'll advertise. So check your local fire department, see if they'll be around, maybe the surrounding departments. We try and make it to as many as we can. But at the end of the day, you know, Chuck's a working boy, and he gets tired too, so we try and give him a break. But we try and get out there as much as we can, from Amityville out to Amagansett, Montauk. We try and get everywhere.
Well, it's been terrific to have you and Chuck in the studio with us today. Chuck's been very quiet, but he is very friendly. I'm sure if you're out in the field and you are not working, that you maybe are on some downtime or at one of these events. Like you said, Chuck is very friendly. I'm sure that you could be very accommodating if somebody does see you out in public with Chuck. You know, if they do ask or approach you first, that they can meet him. And he is very lovable.
Yes, absolutely. Chuck loves the affection. Like I said, the plus side of being food reward is we can take all the affection we want. And if you see us out there, just like I said, like Tom said, just give us an ask. We'll be more than happy to accommodate your request.
So thanks again to Suffolk County Fire Marshal Ryan Fisher and his canine partner, Chuck, for joining us today on Suffolk Matters, and have a great weekend.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.